Need some tips, tricks for the trade show season? Let's get rocking. Global from Asia, episode 79.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Life is amazing and been really pushing things lately. Riding a high, released my second book, the first book I put on Amazon titled Destination China, which is a story and experiences I went through my first year moving to China and setting up business back in 2008. So it's not just my story, but I also put some actionable tips and tricks in the end of each section or each chapter so that you can get some value, not just the story. So I try to keep it fun and interesting, and so I hope you enjoy. It was released on Thursday last week, which was my birthday, and I did the 5-day free promotion that Amazon KDP Select lets us do. So today is the last day you can get it for free, so definitely jump on it while it's here. I also sent out email newsletter and made a special podcast to make sure you guys could catch it while it was still free. You can go on a link on the show notes, or it's globalfromasia.com/destinationchina. We'll just redirect you directly to the Amazon page. I'll also put on show notes, like I said. So I'm excited. I hope you guys like it. So far, we're getting some pretty cool feedback, and it's just amazing to just get to share the story with everybody. I'm also love getting letters from listeners, and over weekend, I got the following message from a Chinese student that really moved me. So let's read it off. Hi, Mike. I'm a Chinese student who is studying industrial engineering in the U.S. I recently found your podcast, and I love it. I've listened to about 25 episodes, and it provided me so many insights of different business in China. I am reading your second book now. I plan to find your first book and read it afterwards. Thanks for providing such a great podcast. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful spring. Regards, Xiao Di. Thank you, Xiao Di. I really appreciate that you're enjoying the podcast, and 25 is a lot, so that's really cool. And I got another 5-star review. Seems like I got a lot of announcements, so I'll put that at the end of the show. And I'm also going to talk about a meetup at the trade show. I'll save those both for after the interview. So let's go into the meat of the episode. So today I have episode 79 of Global from Asia, moving up there in the numbers. We have the Chief Marketing Officer, or CMO, of GlobalSources.com, Peter Zaff, who I've had the pleasure of knowing for many years now. And he's going to give us some overview and tips of the busy China trade show season. His trade show actually was the first one I'd ever been to in Asia. It was basically like the day I landed, I went to their show. It's a massive one over in the Asia World Expo of Hong Kong, and it's really cool to get him on the show. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. It's a great episode here. We have with us Peter Zaff from Global Sources that I've known many years. And thank you for being here, Peter.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure, sure. It is the great time to have you on the show. It's trade show season, so it's a great podcast episode. Do you mind introducing yourself for our listeners today?
Sure, yeah. I'm Peter Zaff. I work with Global Sources. We help manufacturers market themselves to global importers, wholesalers, and retailers. We've been in business for about 40 years. We started with trade magazines, then we added our GlobalSources.com website, then the trade shows, and today I think we'll be focusing on the trade shows.
Yep, that's what we're sticking with. And yeah, your trade show was my first kind of like trade show experience or any business experience in Asia. I came in the fall of 2007 to your Global Sources Fair, and we had Mike Bellamy on, which is also a speaker at your show on episode 71 here, and he was talking about his time. You know, he's been a regular speaker at your speaker series there, and helping a lot of people like me when we first come over to China and Asia. So again, thanks for having that event. It's really amazing.
Yeah, Mike's been great. He's got a ton of good expertise that he very freely shares.
Yeah, it's definitely amazing. Yeah, he gave us a lot of insight too on the show here. So you mentioned it started as a magazine, and how did it get into trade fairs?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what we found is that we were helping buyers and suppliers find each other. But the world was changing. So when the internet came around, we said, hey, here's, you know, an opportunity to get information to buyers more quickly. With the magazines, you know, we'd ocean ship them and it would take Wow. 6 weeks to get to the buyers.
Amazing.
So the internet was, you know, a great use case to help improve speed and cost of delivery of information to our global users. But then as the community grew on the buyer and the supplier side, we said, hey, you know, there's also an opportunity to facilitate the folks meeting face-to-face via trade shows. So when the Asia World Expo opened up in Hong Kong right near the airport, we kind of became the anchor tenant, and that's where we've been running our trade shows ever since, over 10 years now.
Yeah, that it's amazing. And you guys have this deal where if you come in, you have buses set up all around the city of Hong Kong and the free, like, MTR. It's an amazing logistical event. I mean, it's amazing how you get everything together, and it's a great job.
Yeah, we try to facilitate it, you know, for the folks to make it as easy as possible. It's certainly a crowded time that time of year in Hong Kong.
Yeah. I usually tell people to try to get hotels as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
That time of year is definitely the busiest time. But it's also a great time to network and meet people. You know, a lot of people are flying in from around the world. So, yeah, like I think we mentioned, the listeners, I assume from what I've met, are mostly Westerners, but from around the world, like South America and North America and Europe. So what's kind of like some of the demographic of the attendees that are coming now?
Yeah. Well, first let me, sorry, I didn't do this before, just give you an update on the show date. So we run the shows twice a year, usually in the spring, and the fall. So these coming updates, we're running our electronic show from the 11th to the 14th. And then our mobile and wearable show will be the 18th to the 21st. And then the 27th to the 30th, we'll have fashion accessories, garments and textiles, gifts and premiums, home products, underwear and swimwear. So a bunch of different categories. And then the buyers that come in, you know, the first thing is, you know, which category are they most interested in? What do they source? But where they come from, you know, it's all over the world. I walk through our show and it's like a mini United Nations. It's really amazing to me. And then in terms of the types of buyers, you know, I see everything from the top 10 retailers, you know, all the names, you know, all the way down to sometimes you see some eBay power sellers. So the retailers, distributors, importers, wholesalers, and you're even starting to see some of your online sales guys.
Yeah, I think that was me when I was first here, and I noticed I was too small of a fish really to buy factory direct, but still, it's good to know your sources and to know where your products come from and build relationships, right? I think even with the internet, as amazing as it is, you know, I still think that these shows are relevant to make that human interaction and relationship. I mean, I think you agree, right? Or
oh no, definitely. I mean, it's good to see folks face to face, start building that relationship. You know, also when you're walking the show, it's easier to learn and, you know, go back with Q&A. You know, you're not going back and forth via email with what, you know, however much time there is for the cycle. And you can even talk to a couple different suppliers of the same products, you know, learn, get feedback very quickly. You commented on the order quantities. You know, that also varies quite a bit from supplier to supplier. Some suppliers do larger runs, and there are some suppliers that do smaller quantities. What I find, though, another issue, though, is just the shipping and logistics costs. And especially if you're going to do ocean shipping, you kind of want to have a higher quantity to amortize some of those fixed costs across. So that you can really manage your landed cost.
True.
There are a lot of suppliers that'll do smaller quantities, and then some suppliers that only do large quantities. And you just talk to the suppliers and ask them.
True. I remember. I brought my empty roller bag suitcase to load up with catalogs and was going up and down the aisles there and trying to get quotations and MOQs and trying to piece together my suppliers. But definitely, I mean, there's some that will work with you that they want to feel like they invest in you early and help you grow. So, you know, I think it's probably, is it better for finding new products or maintaining relationships maybe with suppliers you're already working with, or is it both, or?
Yeah, you know, there's quite frankly, there's a lot of both. Certainly a lot of buyers that know the supplier, they'll come to the show, you'll see them sitting down, they'll be looking at products, and they'll be placing an order at the booth in the show. I talked to a few years ago, a guy from, I think he was coming from Dubai, and he comes to the show, he's got a $6 million budget, he's trying to spend $6 million while he's at the show.
Wow.
Then, you know, there are folks that, those same folks may be looking for new suppliers, or they may be talking to current suppliers. The good thing about talking to existing suppliers, you know, you kind of know what products they have, you know how they work, you know what their quality level is going to be. So it's a much more comfortable process. If you're looking for new products or working with new suppliers, you may need to do a little bit more qualification to get comfortable with the supplier. But yeah, you see a lot of both, you know, finding new suppliers and talking to existing suppliers.
Sure. I think for me, when I first came, I was lining some up from talking online through Global Sources, and I was kind of, they're emailing me about their booth number. I think people will probably relate to me when they get those email marketing messages from suppliers. So, you know, you try to like basically map out all the booths of the suppliers you're already talking to, maybe meet them, sit down with them, try to clarify the questions. But yeah, I don't think I've never placed an order there. I think it's more to get that relationship a little bit stronger. So it kind of leads into this next question of preparing for the show. You know, I think you've probably seen those guys with the empty suitcases ready to load up with catalogs. What are some things maybe people should do to prepare, like bring name cards or, you know, some things that maybe we think are basic, but that might help some new guys out there?
Yeah, no, name cards are good. You also mentioned earlier getting your hotel reservations early and getting that in place. That's definitely good. Get your plane tickets early, because I think ticket prices go up. But the other things that I think are valuable is really understand the products that you want to source, the specifications you're looking for, the requirements, not just features and functions, but also quality standards and packaging. And if you know what you want, then it's much easier to have productive discussions with the suppliers on the show floor to understand what they can do, what they can't do, what the impact on cost might be. You can also go and, you know, do more exploratory work on products, but, you know, then you don't have quite as strong a background to understand maybe what the right price should be. You mentioned earlier emailing some of the suppliers before you go to the show. You know, I think that's great to start that conversation, to start understanding, you know, what price points, what MOQs, what quality standards, what components suppliers are using before you get to the show. So then you can really get to some of the more detailed questions while you're talking to them face to face. And then if you see other suppliers that have similar products, you're more of an expert and you're ready to talk to them also. So you can be much more productive.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's an overwhelming. You're usually on your feet all day, and I definitely think, you know, maybe come a couple of days earlier too for the potential jet lag. And I think I got a little bit, I think my first time I came, I was a little bit just really dragged. I got really exhausted after my first day, and I think maybe give yourself a couple of days to prepare. It's a big venue, right? You're at the Asia World Expo, and you can get lost in there. So,
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because we'll have, you know, on the order of 3,000 booths of suppliers.
Amazing.
You know, even if you don't talk to many of them, it can take a full day to walk the whole show.
Yeah.
You know, if you start taking the time to talk to them, which is what you're there to do, you can easily spend the full 3 or 4 days of the show period there.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I think we've had other other episodes on the show with about sourcing, and you know, like Mike talked about and others, focusing on one product category I think is critical for a sourcing agent, because you need to know your product really well. And yeah, if you're going to go to like multiple categories in these shows and understand all these products, it's really overwhelming and usually I would say kind of risky, because you really got to know these products to do it right. So yeah, I have a point here of translators. You know, of course Hong Kong is a very international cosmopolitan area, but there's mainland Chinese factories coming in and even from around Asia. What do you offer translators? Do you recommend them, or what do you suggest here?
Yeah, we don't do anything to offer translators. And in walking the show, I haven't seen many folks come with translators. I'd say on the infrequent occasions where I've seen translators, it's usually from non-English speaking buyers or countries. So English speaking guys, you know, the vast majority of the folks working the booths, they recognize that the buyers are going to be speaking English, so they'll have English speakers there. Is everybody's English perfect or fluent? No. So one could get a translator, but in general, you'll be fine without a translator.
True. Yeah, I think to get to the show, they're pretty international and ready to talk to buyers from around the world. But yeah, that's true. Like English, of course, if you're listening to the show today, you're probably understanding English. But yeah, if you're coming from a non-English speaking country and don't speak English well, you probably would definitely need to bring somebody to help you. But that's good. So I've actually noticed more like, I call it like Western companies or brands having booths in the last couple of years I've gone. Is that trend happening more, or you know, maybe give us some insights?
Yeah, sure. No, that's an interesting one. Certainly the manufacturers are evolving in terms of their capabilities. So I'd say 10 or 15 years ago, virtually all of the manufacturers were OEM. That basically means that they were using a buyer's design and a buyer's brand. What many of them have done, and it's interesting in talking to them, they'd say, hey, you know, the buyer would bring a design. I hired some designers so that I could counter propose some additional designs and try to get a bigger share of the buyer's wallet. So then the suppliers become ODM, original design manufacturers. So they start using their own designs. And then the next step is they say, oh, hey, I'm doing all these designs. Why don't I put my own brand on it? So then they're an own brand manufacturer. And when you talk about the Western companies that have brands that are at the show, what's interesting to me is that it's actually a mix of Western brands and Chinese brands. I'll give you an example. One of the suppliers that we've had at the show for a few years is called Power Rocks, and they do power banks, branded power banks. And you look at the brand name and you look at the booth, and you even see them in the U.S. in the stores, and you think, wow, must be a U.S.-owned brand. But it's not. It's a Chinese-owned brand by a lithium polymer battery manufacturer who went through this process that I talked about and launched their own brand. And now they have a Power Rocks branded booth at the show. But yeah, you know, as a result of this evolution and the manufacturers moving from just OEM, you know, competing on labor costs and trying to move up and competing more on design and brand, we're definitely seeing more brands at the show. And some of them are Western, some of them are Chinese. We've got another example would be a Canadian brand that does Bluetooth speakers that has a booth at the show.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of some friends of mine that I know also getting booths for, they're like entrepreneurs in Asia that are Westerners getting booths too and trying to get leads and distributors around the world. So it's definitely, yeah, I mean, the evolution, like you said, is true. Like that used to kind of be trade shows in Western markets, but now it's here right at the source. So it's amazing how things are developing. So there's three phases, like you mentioned earlier, like the electronics, the mobile wearables, and fashion and gift, or basically, I guess, home products.
Right. So the three phases, they're basically different product categories. The first phase is it's a lot of the electronic products, not including mobile products and mobile accessories. So what you'll have there is some of the home products, office, auto, security, and components, and that's the 11th through the 14th of April. Then the second phase, the 18th to the 21st, that's where we'll have smartphones, tablets, wearables, mobile accessories, and drones.
Cool.
And then the third phase, the 27th through the 30th of April, that's, I'll repeat that again, fashion accessories, garments and textiles, gifts and premiums, home products, underwear and swimwear. So
wow.
not really technology-centric there.
Yeah, I felt like, I think maybe when I was more active in sourcing, it used to be electronics, home and gift, and then fashion. But I guess it's kind of like merged the non-electronics into the third category, huh?
We actually, for the spring and the fall, we have different groups. So the first show is always going to be electronics. And then the home products, I think, in the fall, we'll have in the second phase. So that one in the spring we have in the third phase, and in the fall we have in the second phase. But the best thing, you know, folks can check out chinasourcingfairs.com to see exactly the dates kind of every half year, and then which categories are in which phase.
Okay, great. And we'll link that up on the website, on the notes. So that's great. And yeah, your websites are always very clear with these shows, and you do a good job being, you know, very comprehensive. So we'll definitely let people read all about it there. So also, I think, you know, I don't want to bring up maybe your competitors, but there's other trade shows. There's a couple others that are happening around the same time. I always was curious, and I like maybe how that's kind of like coordinated. It's not directly like overlapping, but somewhat like complementary.
Yeah, I'm not completely involved in the scheduling. There are basically three organizers. So us, we run our shows at the Asia World Expo near the airport. There's the Hong Kong Trade Development Council. They run their shows at the Hong Kong Convention Center in Wan Chai. And then there's the Canton Fair, who runs their shows in Guangzhou in mainland China, a couple hours away by train. And what we purposely try to do is basically limit the number of trips out to Asia that global buyers have to make. So we try to have the same categories, you know, in each of the shows. Our shows tend to open first. Then we overlap for a couple days with the TDC show in Hong Kong, also in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And then there's some overlap with the Canton Fair. So a lot of buyers, I mean, the really aggressive ones that really like walking the shows, may go to all three shows. Some buyers will come to just the Hong Kong shows. There are other buyers that will go just to Canton.
Yeah. I think there was years I've tried to do all three, and it's pretty exhausting. And, you know, I think I actually had, you know, of course, I like your show. It's more international. It's in Hong Kong. I think there's been Indian buyers I've sourced from, and Thailand buyers that have complained they have trouble getting visas into mainland China or other issues. And so usually you have a better mix of the whole Asia in your show, where the others are a little bit more local. So I think that's another good one, and usually you have more quality suppliers in my opinion. So that's great.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. I think we've been aggressively trying to get more suppliers from other countries beyond China and Hong Kong, although those two countries certainly make up a majority of the exhibitors. And then the other difference is the product categories covered. I mean, there's a lot of overlap, but there's some differences. So if folks have specific interests, they can, you know, check out the different shows and see which to visit. I think, like you said, you know, the Hong Kong shows tend to have suppliers that have more export experience. At the Canton Fair, some of the suppliers may not have as much export experience, but they may be more price competitive. So, you know, it really depends on what a buyer's looking for.
True. Yeah, I would agree there. So we kind of dabbled on this a little bit earlier, but let's just say there's a first-time buyer, you know, medium-sized company from the West or, you know, outside of Asia coming here, what would you give them, like, steps to maximize their time?
Yeah, no, I think it's know as much about what you want ahead of time, the product requirements. I think there's a lot of value in contacting suppliers ahead of time to start that conversation. For our shows, if folks go to the globalsources.com site, it's pretty easy to see which suppliers are going to be at the show. So you can start contacting the ones that have products that you're interested in. And then it's a lot of follow-up. If you're new, you also have to understand things like the logistics costs, the lead times, how you plan on managing quality. You know, a lot of folks will use a third-party QC company. If you're going to do that, you probably need to write up your quality standards also. For me, I would suggest including your quality standards with the purchase order so that the supplier knows ahead of time, and then there are no surprises. And then when the inspection company comes in, they can test to those quality standards, and then there aren't any surprises. But really, for folks that are brand new to sourcing, we've also got a site called smartchinasourcing.com that's got a ton of great background information. You know, lessons learned, folks like Mike Bellamy, who you mentioned earlier, have contributed a ton of great content on there. So that's really a good place to take a look. And I think we've got some articles there also on preparing for trade shows for if it's somebody's first time.
Okay, great. We can put that on in the show notes too and link to that. So thanks so much, Peter, for taking your time out and sharing with everyone. So, of course, there's globalsources.com and China Sourcing Center. Is there other ways or what would you... I know you have a lot of internet properties, so maybe you can give us a little bit of overview which ones for different listeners they should look at.
So globalsources.com that you mentioned, that's the year-round online sourcing site to find OEM and ODM suppliers. We also have all of the exhibitors on that site. Then there's chinasourcingfairs.com. That'll provide details of our different trade shows. I mentioned smartchinasourcing.com, and that's
okay.
A lot of editorial content, really educational content on sourcing, especially focused on sourcing from China. And I didn't touch on this one as much. We have another site called globalsourcesdirect.com. There we're focused on emerging brands with retail-ready products. So for buyers that are looking for that type of product, that's a good place to check. So I think those are four good places for folks to check out.
Okay, great. So thanks again, Peter, for coming on. And that's all I have. So I'll see you at the show, and I hope some of our listeners are coming over too. I sure they are. So.
Oh yeah, no, and for Global Sources Direct, we'll have a booth at the show. I'll be working at the booth, so if folks do come to the show, stop by and say hi to me in the booth.
Oh, cool, awesome, great.
Right.
Well, I'll stop by too.
Yeah, appreciate your having me on the show, and I'll look forward to seeing you there.
Okay, yeah, see you there, Peter.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on and sharing. I really appreciate your time, and it brings back awesome memories of my first trip to the trade show in the fall of 2007. Doesn't even feel like that long ago, but I do mention it also in my book, Destination China, for those that want to check that out. So I'm going to be at the Global Sources Fair on April 14th, which is Tuesday, actually, 1 week from the release of this show. It's a really last-minute announcement here, but if you happen to be there already and you want to just meet up, I'll be at the Global Sources Direct booth where Peter will be. And, I know I'll be there in the afternoon, but let's just pick 2 p.m. I'll be there for like an hour hanging out with Peter. And if you happen to hear this and be there, that'd be cool. I'll take some pictures with some people, get some feedback, put some stuff on the future episode show notes. So it'd be pretty amazing if that works. So keep me posted. And now for another 5-star review from Bruce Wong 777. I love these funny, crazy iTunes usernames. And he seemed to really enjoy PJ Entrepreneur's show number 77. Let me read it off. A channel where idea and tips can get you. He says, I finished the 77th episode, which PJ Entrepreneur is invited. The first time I met PJ was on the metro in Shenzhen. He told me about past experiences and extremely creative idea on marketing. What encourages me most is PJ's constantly passion to connect people together to make amazing things happen. I was impressed by PJ's positive attitude towards life, work, success, and even failure. Thank you, PJ, for sharing Ken Robinson's book, The Element, and opinion on traveling and making friends with new people. So, thank you, Bruce. I'm glad you enjoyed it. PJ, he's a great guy, and we'll probably get him on future shows. Also, so just a sneak peek for next week, we're going to have digital marketing strategies for the Asia market. People seem to have liked previous marketing topics, so we will get one more for you. And see you next week. Cheers.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.